As we heard in the scripture reading from Romans, the just or the righteous will live by faith. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I went online to oldlutheran.com, don't know if you have ever done that before, and found some Reformation humor that I thought we'd start off with today. It says, "You might be a Lutheran if you serve Jell-O in the proper liturgical color for the season." What color of the season are we in, Reformation? Reformation red, right? That's what we're supposed to all. Some of us are in red, and we're supposed to wear red tomorrow, too. During communion, you hum the hymn so you can see who's at church that Sunday or Saturday night. Rather than introducing yourself to a visitor at church, you check their name out in the guest book or on the attendance card. You sit in the same place or area when you attend worship. None of us do that, do we? You think a meeting isn't legitimate unless it's at least 3 hours. Let's have us a meeting. Lutherans love to do that. You forget to put water in the baptismal font, but never forget to put water in the coffee pot. You think hot dish is one of the major food groups. The pastor skips the last hymn to make sure that worship lasts only 60 minutes. A midlife crisis means switching from the old hymn book to the new one. We've been there before, right? Remember the red hymn book, 1941? The new book comes out, new hymn book. It's like, oh, I'm coming home on Esther, you know, and then another hymn book, and then another hymn book. Yeah, okay. A midlife crisis is just about what Martin Luther experienced when he nailed what is known as the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany in 1517. That's Halloween, and that is the actual Reformation Day. I mean, you talk about courage and you talk about boldness. Back in the day, the 16th century, the Catholic Church ruled. I mean, it was the church and the state. Things were happening in the Catholic Church of Martin Luther's day that he didn't like. He was a monk. He was raised Roman Catholic. He was raised on the Catholic Catechism. He was raised with the Mass in Latin. He was a brilliant theologian. He was a great musician, but his dad wanted him to be an attorney. Remember this story? Some of you do, some of you don't. And he was caught in a rainstorm one night, and it must have been a really bad one. You did a lot of walking back then, or horseback, I guess. And he thought he was going to lose his life. And so he cried out to one of the saints, "Saint Anne, save me, and I will go into the monastery and become a priest." Sure enough, Saint Anne, well, God, saved him from the storm. And he enrolled into the monastery, much to his father's demise. Well, Luther kind of blew the lid off the Roman Catholic Church of his day when he pounded those 95 things that he wanted to see changed. And that's really what the word reform means. It means to change in form, to do things differently. And basically, he wanted the church of his day to get back to the basics of the Holy Bible. They were adding way too many things. They weren't assuring people that they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. People on their deathbed were being left in despair, not knowing that when they took their last one, whether they'd actually be in the presence of Jesus Christ or not. And it was a great way for the Catholic Church of its day to make money, those things called indulgences. Remember that story? They told people that there's this place called purgatory, that we don't know for sure that when you die, you're going to go straight to heaven and be with Jesus. You might be hanging out in purgatory in limbo, something that was man-made. It was a great capital campaign emphasis because John Etzel would sell these indulgences to people. And the campaign slogan in the 16th century was, "For every coin in the coffer that rings, a soul from purgatory springs." How about that? What a capital campaign phrase. And Luther said, "Time out. I've had enough of this. This isn't what the Bible says. I go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, the just will live by faith. I go to Romans 1:17, and it says, the just will live by faith. I go to Galatians chapter 3:11, and guess what it says? The just will live by faith." And it's like the scales fell off his eyes. He could see the light of Jesus, and he finally realized that he didn't have to beat himself. He didn't have to fast. There was nothing that he could do to appease a wrathful, angry, and judgmental God. He didn't have to do a thing because The thing was all done by the God-man, Jesus Christ. Amen? And he finally understood that the central message of the gospel is that we are justified. It's like a legal declaration. It's just as if I had no sin, that we are justified. We are declared not guilty. We are pardoned and we are acquitted from the sin that we were conceived in, called original sin, and all the actual sins that we will commit until the day that we die. He realized that we were saved by grace, and that word means God's undeserved love and favor. It's not deserved love. It's not deserved mercy, forgiveness. It's undeserved for everyone who has ever been made by grace through faith. Faith is the hand that accepts and receives the free gift of God. And we can't even take credit for our faith, dear people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. That faith is worked in us through the Holy Spirit. And Luther finally realized, as John 3:16 says, and most of us know it by heart, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say believe and lives a good life, believes and goes to church, believes and gives a tithe, believe and is a great neighbor. It's he that believes. And so if you put your faith in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, if you believe that he's true God and true man, if you believe that the only one true God is three persons in one God and one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you are all in, because Jesus is all in with everybody that he's ever made. And it's his desire, 1 Timothy, that all people, not some people, not a few people, not people of a particular tribe or nation or clan, come to faith in Jesus Christ. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there's only one truth. There's only one way, one avenue, one boulevard. There's only one good shepherd, and be saved. That's the good news of the gospel, that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not of good works, it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. Lutherans love to quote that one. So that no one can boast or brag about the fact, hey, look what I've done. Hey, look how I've cooperated my salvation. Look what I've done to make myself right with God. There's no thing that we can do. Because of our sin, we die, right? The wages of sin is death. And that came home to us this afternoon, Ron Worth, one of our shut-ins. We had a funeral service for him today, and we were reminded of that, and the coffin's right in front, and that's why Ron's not with us, is because the wages of sin is death. So physically he's not with us anymore. But it also says in Romans 6:23, and you got law and gospel all packed into one verse, but the gift of God, and that's what it is, dear people. Man, it's a gift. And we talked about at the funeral that, you know, when somebody gives you a birthday gift or someone gives you a Christmas gift, what do? You take the gift and you say, hey, man, thank you for thinking of me. Really appreciate your thoughtfulness. That was extremely generous of you. And you unpack that gift and you say, wow, thank you very much. Rarely do we push a gift back, Christmas or birthday, and say, you know, really don't want it. Thank you very much. And yet that's what people do with God's generosity, seen most clearly in the cross of Jesus through his blood shed. And without the shedding of blood, the scripture says, there is no forgiveness of sins. They push the gift away and say, you know what? I'll believe in what I want to believe. I'll do what I want to do, and I'm going to hope that it all works out and will come out in the wash when I'm done. But the scripture says that's not really how it works. It's faith in Christ and in Christ alone that makes us right with God and gives us a place forever in heaven. Maybe you've heard me tell the story about the time I was visiting with someone in St. Louis back in the 90s, and I had been asked by a lady of the congregation, hey, Pastor B, would you mind going and seeing my mom? She's not doing too well. She's in ICU. She needs a lot of help and a lot of prayer right now. And I said, hey, be glad to do that for you. You know, like a doctor goes and does a physical checkup, I'll go in and do a spiritual checkup. So I show up. Sure enough, she's in ICU, and she's all hooked up, and she's still breathing, and she's still alive. And I said, hey, you know, I'm Pastor B. I'm your daughter's pastor. She wanted me to come by and say hello to you, so that's what I want to do. That's why I'm here tonight. So, how you doing? And she really couldn't say much, and she kind of raised her arm like, you know, I'm hanging in there. I said, hey, that's really good. But can I ask you something? What if things don't work out for you? Where are you going? And she pointed up from her hospital bed, and I went, oh, great. She knows she's going to heaven. And I said, how come? Why would Jesus let you in? And she mustered a little bit from her voice, and she said, I've been a good kid. To which I went, on the inside. She thinks that when she takes her last breath and dies, that she's going to go to heaven because she's been a good kid. And we hear that all the time, don't we, right? You know, we go to funerals. Oh, she was such a great person. She helped other people out. She was on the LWML. He was an elder. He served on the church council. He was on the board of directors. His church all the time. She helped with the communion where always helping, helping, helping. You know, great neighbor, wonderful mom, wonderful husband. And all those things are wonderful, right? They're all great. And God wants us to use our gifts and our talents to serve him and to serve other people. But being a good person doesn't get us in. There's only one good person, and there's only one good work, and it was the person and the work of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so I said to her, you know, the Bible says a little bit differently. It says that we're all messed up. We're sick with this thing called sin, and it makes us ill. And that's the reason that everybody's going to die. And the Bible also says that everybody's infected with this thing called sin, and we've got no way out from it except for the fact that Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, died for those sins, shed his blood, and then, like the stained glass window portrays, didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead victoriously. And the Bible says that if you believe that, if you have faith that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, you will not perish but have everlasting life. And then I said, do you believe this? And she nodded her head and said, yes. And I said, then you're in. Because Jesus was all in for us. And when the devil or somebody tries to tell you, you're not in, you're a horrible person. You say horrible things. You do horrible things. In fact, you don't do the things that you should be doing. I'm watching you. I'm keeping an eye on you. I see your sin. You don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Well, we just have to remember that when the devil or people bring up our past, we have to simply tell them that Jesus has dropped the charges. Amen? I can remember a slogan that I saw somewhere, you know, that it says, I told my wife to embrace her mistakes. You know what she did? She hugged me. I told my wife to embrace her mistakes. She hugged me. Kind of what God does for us. You know, despite our sins, he just comes and he hugs us. We are washed. He is the washer. We're reformed. He's the reformer. We're sanctified. He's the sanctified. We're justified. He's the justifier. We're loved. And God is a lover. That's what Luther found out. That's what the Apostle Paul found out. That their work didn't matter, but it was completely the work of Jesus Christ. One cool Luther quote I saw not too long ago said, you know, when I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Christ, I don't see how I can be lost. When it comes to faith in Jesus, it's all good. And the Reformation reminds us that it's all God. And all God's people said, amen.